You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in a couple of places. One in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then in 2 Samuel chapter number 3 tonight. We have enjoyed being here these days, and we certainly do not take this open door for granted, and we always enjoy coming to Holly Springs. Thank the Lord for what's going on here. And I think I've told you before, but I thought I'd remind you again tonight, there is only one thing wrong with Holly Springs. And I believe you could correct it tonight. Just move the whole thing to Athens, Georgia, and it will be totally corrected. And because we don't have nothing even close to this in Athens, Georgia. And we do thank the Lord for this ministry, and always thank the Lord for my best friend and what God's doing to him through here. I appreciate the Hodges taking us to breakfast this morning and that fellowship time. That was certainly a blessing. Well, we've been looking at these double name calls, and been looking at them from various and sundry angles. We'll look at one more tonight. I would remind you of this base verse tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul told young Timothy in verse 9, who, speaking of Christ, has saved us, past tense, and called us, past tense, with a holy calling. We've been dealing in these last four nights with sanctification, his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. He tells us the place of origin, he says, which was given us in Christ Jesus. He tells us the time that it happened before the world began. And we have looked at call of Saul, Saul, call to salvation. We looked at Martha, Martha, call to service. We looked at Simon, Simon, a call to sifting. Appreciate the Lord helping us last night as we looked at Abraham, Abraham, a call to sacrifice. Tonight we turn our attention to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Where he will again use this double name call for a young kid by the name of Samuel. I want us to see tonight that it was a call to separation. He is going to make a marked difference, a marked difference, a marked difference. And a very old religious man by the name of Eli. And this young boy by the name of Samuel. The word separation means to part or divide from one group to another. Middle Eastern shepherds would count their sheep at night. And every tenth one, they would separate them out, set them aside for a special task. Peter said that we have been called to be a peculiar people, chosen people, a royal priesthood. It is in this Samuel story tonight that God will share four characteristics you and I can check up on and see if we have been issued a call of salvation, a call to sanctification. You can look and see. It's not about some prayer you prayed, some decision you made, some pool you got dunked in, some church you joined. Hell be full of people did that. Nobody will have the Samuel characteristics and they'll be in hell. Oh, no. You might have some Eli characteristics in being Hail, but not Samuel characteristics. I notice in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. As we begin to look at this separation, God showing us clearly, I believe tonight with all of my heart that there's some Elis in this building. And I believe there's some Samuels. And it will be up to you tonight to make that marked difference tonight. And see at what camp you dwell in tonight. First characteristic of one who has been issued a call of salvation and sanctification. There will be a passion to hear from God constantly. Passion to hear from God constantly. If you have the Bible there in chapter 3 and verse number 1, I notice in Samuel's day it was a precious word. He says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It almost sounds good, don't it? Precious. Until we go and look at the old English word precious, and it is the word rare, uncommon, sheep food. In the scriptures tonight, the word is often classified as the Logos. This is the Logos. There was a Logos in that day. In the first five books of the Bible, Logos. But the rarity here was a rhema, a special word from God. Have you ever been reading your Bible and all of a sudden something jumps off the page and grabs your heart and just radically changes you? Maybe you're here at church and preacher's preaching and all of a sudden something from the Word jumps up and grabs a hold of you. Maybe the choir is singing. There's a portion in the song from the Word of God and it just so grabs you and breaks you and you want to worship. It's called a rhema. And it was rare in those days. One who has had a call to salvation, a call to sanctification, he has a passion to hear constantly. Every time he opens a Bible, he's looking for God to let something jump off the page. Every time he comes to church, he's anticipating God's going to say something and it's going to strike my heart and it's going to change me. I love what old Ravenhill said about it. He said most Baptists are more excited that they've got a Bible than they are about getting in the Bible. And a lot today are more excited about the version of the Bible. Ooh, we got a King James. We're standing on it. Quit. Don't stand on it no more. You can't open it if you're standing on it. No searching the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. Why was it rare? Because of Eli. There is some Elis in this building tonight. you have no more idea what I'm talking about when I say a rhema than a monkey's uncle. Are you listening to me tonight? It's a precious word. I notice the not only precious word in this passion for God to speak, to hear from him, but I notice there was a principal worth. He says in verse number 3, and ere the lamp of God went out. Time out! Hold on! Did what? Eli, you mean to tell me that you turned the lights out in the temple at night? That is a direct disobedience to the Rhema. The Rhema told us in the book of Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, keep the lamps in the temple burning 24 hours a day. I'm sure Eli said, let's save some oil. Let's cut them off at night. Oh, there's no Rhema tonight. There's no light for your feet, for those small steps. There's no light for your path, those distant journeys. There is no discernment at all. If you're sitting here tonight and you have no desire for a rhema, for something to jump off the page and grab your heart and radically change you, you cannot discern between good and evil tonight, just like Levi. I was reminded again today of old Hillary Clinton. Years ago, they were interviewing her. And she's raised a Methodist, Wesleyan Methodist. And they asked her a question. They said, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? She gave the Eli answer. That's up for debate. This book, I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Hindu, a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon. This book said that Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. That is a rhema, special word from God. No light in the temple. Passion, would you check that box tonight? I have come over here tonight looking for God to speak to me. I'm constantly wanting to get a word from him. I'm listening. I want him to speak to me. It is a mark that you have had a call of salvation and a call of sanctification. Would you go further with me in this story tonight? This call of separation, not only a passion to hear from God constantly, but a passion to humble ourselves before God constantly. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3 and verse number 7, the state of young Samuel. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Didn't know him yet. He had not gotten a rhema yet. I got to thinking today, wonder why, at this particular time, that he had not heard from God. And the only thing I could surmise it, there won't nobody around preaching. Well, who is the preacher? Eli. I think often, and certainly it's not your lot here at this church, but many can fall into the lot of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul said that the gospel came not unto me in word only. It's not just word only being preached here, but it is the word coming forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I'm telling you, you that teach Sunday school, you ought to study your lesson, but you ought to pray much. God would fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you a rhema for that class. You boys that call yourself been called to preach, I tell you, before I got in the pulpit again, I'd seek that God would fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me a rhema, a special word from God that grabs my heart so that I can give it to you and it'll grab your heart. There's a spiritual state. He didn't know. Knew all about God. His mama Hannah probably told him all about God. But he didn't know intimately God because no one had ever told him about the intimacy of God. There was nobody religious around him that was intimate with God, that wanted to hear a word from God. No doubt there's some Elis here tonight. I noticed not only was there a spiritual state, but there was a submissive state. In chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6, three times God calls to him, Samuel. And he thinks Eli's talking to him. And he goes and says, here am I, O one who has a humble spirit. He is submissive. He is willing to do the most simple of tasks, even if it seems silly to him. God has asked him to do it. He does it because he has that humble spirit. What in the world do you want to be humble for? There'll be no rhema, no special word from God until you humble yourself. God resisteth the proud. Give us grace to the humble. There was a spiritual state. There was a submissive spirit. But I noticed there was a special statement. The Bible tells us in verse number 10 of chapter 3. And the Lord came and stood and called it at other times. Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord answered, speak. Thy servant heareth. God spoke to this young boy that night, the most scariest, most dangerous, most hideous message for the old preacher that was laying in the other room. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with a sacrifice nor an offering. He said, Calvary will never cover his sin. All right. Yeah. Only thing I can figure is Eli's in hell tonight. But he was very religious. Probably Eli come to most Baptist churches today to make him chairman of the deacon board. Listening to me. There was a special statement. Speak, thy servant. I am owned by God. I am his slave. He heareth. He says, I am listening with intentions of obeying. I'm afraid many tonight walk in the light of their own thinking, their own feelings. Reminds me of the old drunk I read about some time ago. He was out late at night walking and he had lost his wallet. He got a couple of miles down the road, and there was a street light. And he was looking around the street light. Someone come along and said, "Have you lost something?" He said, "Yes, I lost my wallet." Said, "Where do you think you lost it?" He says, "Probably a couple of miles back down the road." He says, "Well, why are you looking here?" He said, "There's a light here, silly." Some of you think tonight you're in the light and you're in the dark. Are you listening to me tonight? You think all is well with your soul tonight, but there is no passion to hear from God constantly. There is no passion to humble yourselves before God constantly tonight. There's been no call to salvation, to sanctification. Could I mention a third of the four characteristics in this story? Not only there is no passion to hear from God, to humble ourselves before God, but there is a passion to give heed to God alone constantly. Notice the lack of heeding. He says in chapter 3 and verse 13, "I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." These two boys are pretty bad. Well, you know, it's just Eli and a couple of boys. Oh, no. God's going to go after the third and the fourth and the fifth generation. You could be here tonight and have no desire for a rhema from God. And God says, "I ain't going to speak to you no more." And on top of that, he said, "I'm going to go after your children and your grandchildren." Wow. I don't know how you feel about that. I have 16 grandchildren. And if they were to just have what I had, 3 kids, by the time we get to 4th or 5th generation, there'll be several hundred people that will have come out of my loins. Do you think tonight that I don't want to have a passion for God to speak me from this book? And I raise up generations that don't want to hear anything from God, sit in churches religious tonight, still on their way to hell. You listening to me tonight? Passion. I notice in chapter 2 and verse number 12, the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. The little word Belial is worthless. Worthless. Just sucking air for no account. Not doing anything that is eternal. He says in chapter 2 and verse number 22, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they laid with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." These guys were vile, vile. "And he constrained them not." You would think that would be sufficient. You got the Bible there. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Let's go 25 years down the road. I'm sure Eli thinks by now, "Oh, grace, that thing Samuel heard down there that night, you woke him up. He must have eaten some pizza before he went to bed. That ain't never going to happen." He says in verse number 11, "And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni's, Phinehas, were slain." 25 years later, Eli was had an apathy for the Word of God. He had no desire for a rhema. God, 25 years slowly turning. But he finally took his two sons out. 17, the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and the two sons also of Hophni and Phinehas are dead. The ark of God is taken. One of those girls married one of those boys, Phinehas' wife, in verse 19, she bare a child. When she heard that the ark of God had been taken, she's dying, and she names that child as she's dying in verse 21, Ichabod. Glory of God is gone. Why did that happen? Because one man had no real desire for God to let this book jump off the page, get in his heart, and radically change him. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Could we go 100 years in the future? Oh, preacher, you know good well. Just this one man, Levi, surely God ain't going to keep after him 100 years after he's dead. You be the judge. 1 Samuel 22, verse 16, and the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou, all thy father's house. Saul turned to Doeg in chapter number 22 and verse 18, and he said, Fall on him. And all of the sons of Amalek were slaughtered. Eli's family. Doeg. How come one man had no desire for God to speak to him constantly from this book? I thought maybe we could go 200 years in the future. First Kings, chapter number 2. First Kings, chapter number 2, and verse number 26. That day that Doeg sliced them up, one of them got away. His name was Abathar. And unto Abathar the priest said, The king, get thee to Anthroth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father. Because thou hast been afflicted in all that my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of... Time out! Hold on! Who? Eli. The one that had no desire for a rhema. Had no desire to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to him. When he came over here, it was just a thing of apathy. It was just a box that he checked on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He was not coming over here hoping that God would speak to him. Passion to hear from God. Passion to humble oneself before God. A passion to heed what God says. Could I say last of all, characteristics tonight of one who has been called to salvation and sanctification. There will be a passion to have the hand of God constantly upon you. If you've got the Bible there, 1 Samuel back in our text tonight, and chapter number 3, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. It's the characteristics of people who want a rhema, want God to speak to them from the Word of God. Verse number 19, and Samuel grew. There was a personal hand upon Samuel's life. In other words, he get that personal hand on him. He was wanting to hear from God. He was wanting God to speak to him. And so he grew. I was interested in that little word, grew. It means to twist two together, making one. It has the idea of becoming larger while becoming smaller. It almost sounds like John's thought on that he must increase while I must decrease. Oh, Samuel grew. Oh, tonight, for one who is looking for a rhema, if there's one thing this Bible will do for you, it'll make you want to be less and less of you and more of Him. You see that passion tonight? I notice in the text in verse number 20, there was a prophetical hand. And all of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. I was interested in that little word, prophet. One who tells hard sayings to another. Oh, for one tonight who is full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God, one who has a desire for a rhema. They do not mind getting a rhema on the behalf of someone else and telling it to them. Are you listening to me? Samuel had a prophetical hand. But I notice in verse number 19 that he had a powerful hand. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was, wow. You know, there is nowhere in the scriptures where the Bible said that he was ever with Eli. Never. But he says he was with Samuel. He says in verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in him in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the... There's that rhema again. Special word from God. Not only did he talk to him one time, not did he just gave him a rhema one time, he just kept on speaking to him because he wanted to hear. God making a marked separation between Eli and Samuel. Many speak today of salvation. I hear very little of people talking about sanctification, becoming holy. I fear tonight that salvation without a desire for a hearing from God, a desire to humble ourselves before God, a desire to heed God, a desire to have God's hand upon you, all of those things of sanctification. I find that maybe you have a synthetic salvation. Much like synthetic butter. It is butter that has never come in contact with a cow. Maybe synthetic honey. Honey that has never come in contact with a bee. Synthetic salvation. Christianity that has never come in contact with Christ. May this be our desire tonight. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer. Pure as thou art, Come in thy fullness. Come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Preacher, it's yours.